This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by two gentlemen. Over on my left is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Over to my right, of course, is Mr. Arif Ruz, the man with the news. Say hello.
Hello.
Where were you last week, Daniel? What were you doing?
Well, you know, I was honored to be invited for the launch and test drive of the brand new CX-30 Mazda crossover. So it was an all-day event, so I could not make it here to the studio. And I actually had a better time with the car than with both of you.
I mean, it's pretty much expected, isn't it?
He likes the company of inanimate objects as opposed to real life people.
Exactly.
That's fair enough. As usual, the show is split into two parts. We've got the first part, number one, giving you some news. And number two, of course, is that feature of the Mazda CX-30 that Daniel managed to get his hands on.
Yeah.
Around a little bit. So without further ado, Mr. Ruz, give us the news.
Right, so two pieces of news. The first one is obviously the Plus Highway deal, which there is none. So the government has actually decided not to privatise Plus Highways, with the Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, saying that all the offers, the four offers or the five offers that were tabled, just simply aren't attractive enough and do not give a promising prospect for Plus in the future. So it says, the details are as such, 18% toll reduction on eight highways across Malaysia. So these are the North-South Expressway, NSE, the NKVE, the Elite Highway, the Second Link Highway, the LPT, and the Penang Bridge, and Seremban to PD, Port Dickson, and the ECE. That's a lot of acronyms, but I believe they are identifiable enough for the listeners.
Easy to understand this. But the thing is, I have to say, why the sudden change in the whole position right after a lot of people went online and got angry? So are they doing this because they want to do this, or is it because of anger from the citizens of Malaysia?
I mean, but that's always been the case for whatever decision the government seems to make, right?
And then, you know, 18% toll reduction is quite a big number.
I think a lot of newspapers were quoting, like, KL to Alostar, it would have been $55, but now starting February 1st, the 18% means that you'll only be spending 44 ringgit 50 cents to get all the way up to Kedah.
And that, you know, completely changes your lifestyle. You've got that so much money left over to do so much grocery shopping.
You can buy a little more groceries.
Exactly. It's good.
The other thing is that there are absolutely no increase in tolls for these highways as well. Plus, as we mentioned last week, fixed tolls nationwide for this year, 2020. So there's no increments at all in cost for the tolls.
Let's make a note of the date. It is the 21st of January. So let's see when we next see tolls rise.
Yeah. call me a cynic. I think it'll happen while you're still working in BFM.
Yeah. He's not wrong to think that, because the concession agreement, you know, with the 18% toll reduction and the fixed tolls and all that stuff, the flip side of this agreement, obviously, is the fact that the concession agreement has been extended by 20 years. So for all Plus Highways, it now ends at 2058.
What?
2058.
I think by then Richard would have left the station.
I'm thinking so. Maybe just.
Just.
This concession period extension was something that the MCA president, Dr. Wee Ka Siong, actually pointed out. He said that this is probably the largest concession agreement ever. I mean, it spans over 70 years, which is kind of crazy, don't you think? That's an entire human lifetime. And maybe slightly more.
Yes.
But despite, you know, all the brickbats and all of the negativity that's surrounding this, the Prime Minister does say that while traffic will increase, the value and purchasing power of the ringgit Malaysia will go down. So what Plus will earn afterwards in 20 years is not exactly as big as people think they are going to get.
But it's still not going to, you know, burden them. Because why? You have some heavyweights in the board of directors.
Yeah. I mean, the online discourse also brought up a lot of big picture arguments. There are three of them that I read up about. Number one is higher local car prices in 2020, which we'll get to after this.
Yes.
Those rumors. You know, it's going to be more expensive to buy a new car. So that won't exactly offset the toll
savings. Despite them telling us just a couple weeks ago that it should cost us less to buy a new car.
Yeah, yes. Well, analysts are saying otherwise.
Yeah, of course.
The second thing in the big picture argument is that, you know, developing public transport should be more important than extending a concession agreement.
True.
Smaller urban areas or suburban areas, right. You have to build the rail lines. And then the third one, highway traffic, especially on plus highways, the NSE, it's already unbearable to be on that highway. I mean, it's super congested. There's always an accident around the corner because, I don't know, there's just something about the Plus Highway that's built in such a way that drivers just can't seem to follow the law.
I think I have to stop you there and say it's not the construction of the highway. It's not the fault of the highway operator. It's the fault of the driving schools allowing substandard passing rates and then the law allowing some drivers to just carry on breaking the law with their handphones and not using signals and speeding and everything else. But, you know, enforcement, again, is a problem because there's not enough people to solve this problem. So it's just going to be a domino effect. Accidents on the highway happens all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, every highway, every by road, state road, and whatever
else. It's just that we're the worst.
Well, you know, you say we are the worst. We say the second worst, third worst. The thing is, why do you have to promote fast driving? That's the thing. Car companies should stop promoting fast driving. For example, Volvo has just put a cap.
Yeah, yeah.
On 180 kilometer, and everybody went cuckoo and said, you know, Volvo is wrong and everything. They're not wrong, but you know, consumers demand faster cars.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think this show has been guilty of that in the past as well.
True.
Yeah. You know, when we're talking about, I just wanted to beat him at the traffic light. Yeah. And I put my foot down.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should just reel that in.
Pull back a little bit. There's no reason to speed. Okay, next.
Next piece of news is about car prices, as I mentioned. Yes.
Can we get some of those analysts who said in the other article that would cost us more money? Can we get some of them in government? Wouldn't they be useful?
Yes. Last week we were talking about, well, Daniel was away, we were talking about local car prices increasing,
yes.
And I really wanted to get your point of view on this.
Right.
But,
and you weren't here. You were too much busy having fun with inanimate objects.
Exactly.
Ah. When it's time to work.
That's right.
Anyway, just to review what happened last week was that the government is reviewing and reclassifying import duties. So an initial source revealed that a clause could be added, which states that any direct and indirect costs incurred or accounted in manufacture and sale of dutiable goods. So plugging the holes of this whole import duties thing.
Yes.
Daniel has a few points about that.
Give us the skinny on this.
There has been a lot of variance in terms of explaining how this thing works. Mm. My take on this is very simple.
Yeah.
After talking to a few industry people who work in the industry, I cannot name them because from different car companies, these are not the bosses. These are people maybe second or third tier. But they've been there long enough to understand all this. Now, over the years, the system has been put in place where CKD cars, when it first started in Malaysia 20, 30 years ago, was a very simple process. You bring in knockdown car. It's like a big FX kit or Tamiya kit. And you put it together. You get some local components. And the local components are also taxable, but in a lower tax. And then you save on the overall tax of the imported CKD car. You have it painted here, you put some local tires on, and you sell it. And then, of course, people found loopholes in the system and they started doing SKD, semi-knockdown. And when it's semi-knockdown, it's great because the car comes almost built from the country of origin. And how do you know a semi-knockdown car? The factory does not have a paint shop.
So it's like you, as a kid, you putting your own model toy together versus your elder brother starting it and then passing it over to you.
Exactly. So when you don't have a paint shop, obviously the car is semi-knocked down. But for the sake of, you know, just showing to the relevant authorities, you take off the doors and everything else. But the tires, they came, because the car rolled off.
Yeah.
It don't come in a crate. So this was going on for years and, you know, they were getting almost the same tax preferential exemptions and everybody was happy. And some of these savings were actually passed on to the consumer. But some are not. Think about this. I'm company A. Whether I do CKD or SKD, if my cost is going to be lower, I will do SKD.
For sure.
Government still collects tax. But if I'm supposed to sell the car for, say, 200,000 ringgit, But because I'm saving some money, I can sell it for 180,000. My competitors who have built huge factories and spent a lot of money are also having the same tax structure, but they can't bring the price down to 180. So they go to, say, 195. So consumer goes and says, hey, how come the same class of car, 180, 195? I'll buy 180. So 180 sells more. When you got volume, you can also get better preferences.
Yeah.
Now, of course, when this starts happening, the bigger factories get a little bit smarter. Over the years, they say, listen, that guy is getting away with it. I so can get away with it. Yes, I have my factory ready and all that. But now with the cars coming up with a lot of new technology and all that, maybe I don't need to get all my local content in. I get some local content in, find some loopholes to play around with, and then the car comes almost SKD, but still in my factory. I still have a paint shop to fulfill certain requirements. But then who is the loser here? The loser here is the tax department. They are not collecting enough tax. So now with the new government, this is my take. Now with the new government, they sat down and said, listen, how come we're selling so many cars, so many consumers out there buying these cars, but the tax coming in is not that great? We're the third most expensive car market in the world, and yet the income from cars is not as great as it should be. So they took out their big, long-digit calculators, and they did some calculations, and they found out there are little loopholes here. So the first thing they did was very early in the year, they got rid of SKD. The moment you have a car rolling off and you don't have a paint shop, friend, you're considered a CBU car, so you pay the full tax. So that immediately came to a grinding halt, and everybody involved started making a lot of noise. I can understand, because why? You've also invested. SKD, you still have to invest some money.
Yeah.
But never mind. Now comes the CKD boys. So they've been sitting down and just watching this. So what happens? When the government says, no, we're going to check all this one by one. Okay, I can't launch a car because I don't know what the new tax structure is. Can I launch a car, pay my factory costs, pay everything, and still be competitive with the guy who's coming in CBU? And if you notice, late last year, some cars were launched as CBU. Cars that were normally local assembled. We'll not mention the models. But their prices were high. Malaysians said, oh, there's no way I'm going to buy that car. It's too expensive. How can they raise the price by 20,000? They're not raising the prices. It's just that now they're not doing SKD or CKD.
So in a sense, a lot of these companies were almost under-declaring certain aspects of their car, like infotainment or a safety or a switch or something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe.
And that was a loophole that could be
exploited.
Like, exploited. So
exactly.
Right now the government is saying, like, these loopholes, they're covering it up.
Yes.
And we are supposed to be getting this amount of money to give to put back into
yes.
whatever that they want
yes.
to put
and
back.
They've, and they've added some yeah. other little, yeah. clauses to make sure that people do not find loopholes. So, of course, for certain CKD guys, their prices have gone up. Nobody's happy about this.
Yeah.
The only people not complaining, surprisingly, from my point of view, is Proton and Perdua. And I think it's because for Proton, Geely, they came in new. They started on a clean slate. So they knew what they were getting, the factory
yeah.
and everything else. Perdua has always been doing this because they've always been a national car and they've not changed anything. So they're okay. But all the rest are now sitting quietly. Now, in the end of all this, there will be some people who will say, I might as well just go back to CBU. Yes, I'm a bit more expensive, but also some Malaysians, they always say, I'd rather pay more and get a CBU car. Good example, the new Mazda CX-30, 100% CBU. Price start at 141,000. We'll get to that later, but
yeah.
then you start thinking, okay, what?
You wrote another article basically revealing the gross price of all the
yes,
CBU
yes.
cars that came in, right?
Yes, yes.
So I've got a few of them here, and I just felt like...
You should share them.
It's an interesting...
It's heartbreaking.
It's yes, heartbreaking, it is. I had to double-check and triple-check everything just to be sure. So okay. here are some cars, right?
Okay.
The 2019-2020 Mazda 3 2-liter, the mid-level, real retail price, 150,000 ringgit.
Right.
Base price, before all the taxes were put in, you could get the car for 54.
Right.
Mazda 2, 1.5, real retail price, about 89,000 ringgit. Base price, before taxation, 29,000. That's the price of a Viva. Third one, BMW 330i, 2019 model as well. Real retail price, 285 or 289. Base price, 107,000 ringgit. And if you are looking for a car that can service everything, obviously some SUVs, Subaru Forester, real retail price, 150. Base price, 56,095 ringgit. And finally, Mercedes-Benz GLC 250. Real retail price, 330,000 ringgit. Base price, 110,000 ringgit.
So, now, before you continue.
Yeah.
heartbreaking, right?
Really?
If you think about, take away the Mazda 2 pricing, because that's a very compact car, low price. Average, it's about 100,000 difference.
Yeah.
Even for a car like a Mazda. Mm-hmm. Of course, as you get more expensive, it's more than 100,000. So let's take an average of 100,000.
I found that the premium cars, the BMWs, the Jags, from the base price, they're about three times more expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Mazdas, the Kias, the Hyundais, they're about two times more expensive.
It's like looking at UK prices versus
exactly.
Malaysian
exactly.
prices.
Because UK tax is very low.
Yeah.
And there's a little margin for, you know, marketing and everything else.
And then they screw you over by the fuel prices.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. So we've got some balance here. So if you just take an average of 100,000 per car tax and look at the TIV, how much income is coming into the country, into the tax department, and yet they say it's not enough.
Mm. With this now laid out bare, I think I would rather have high fuel prices and much, much cheaper cars.
Of course.
And the next thing you have to think about, this is just cars that are authorized. What about grey cars? Can you imagine how much tax is also collected on grey cars? Yeah. Because they're even cheaper to
they're
buy.
They're used, yeah.
They're used, and then you still got the same, almost same taxation. So I think what's going to happen in towards the end of the year is, after all this is rationalized, if nothing changes, a lot of people are going to go, let's go CBU. We sell less cars, but we got less headache. We don't have factories and all that. So jobs are going to be lost. Vendors are going to have problems, blah, blah, blah. It's going to carry on along the way. Next problem is you're going to have a lot of people saying now, I'm going to become a grey importer and start selling CBU cars. Because suddenly CBU cars become attractive.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then you'll have the fact that used cars now will become even more attractive. Used cars coming in from UK. Because they, again, don't have any holding costs. They don't have a factory. They don't have after sales. They don't have warranty. They don't have marketing costs. They just ship the cars in. They spruce them up and they sell you. So the market is going to shift. And shift for the worse or better. Better for the consumer, I think, even though car prices are going up, because you will get more choice. Worse because jobs are going to be lost.
Now, I remember reading an article a few years ago, and don't quote me on this about the figures, but I believe that on average, 12% of Malaysians pay their income tax, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So if people started paying income tax and the tax department started getting more money from income tax, eventually and over time, car prices would come down.
Boom, we've solved Malaysia.
But you see now.
I mean, oversimplifying things, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
The other 88% of Malaysians who are not paying income tax, they're still buying cars with very high
exactly.
tax.
Yeah. Exactly.
So one way or another, the tax department is collecting the money. So the tax department is sitting on a scale and saying, you know, here, there, left, right, pocket, whatever, we're still getting the money in. My question is, how much money? Can we get a figure from the tax department? How much money is coming in for car taxes every year?
Something that we would like to know, too.
We really would, but we are out of time on this segment. We've got some car launches. Do you want to do that now or in a few moments?
We'll do it after the break.
Let's take a short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. You listen to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm in the studio today with
Arif Roos
and Daniel Fernandez.
We already have given you some news, and we've talked about local car prices. We've ranted a little bit. We've spoken about tax. We've spoken about plus highways and tax and tax and tax.
And tax.
We are going to give you some local car launches, and then very shortly, a little bit about the Mazda CX-30.
Yep, so local car launches, really, really local. A few announcements from Proton, the first of which is that the X70 CKD local version is actually coming soon. Hopefully in quarter two, I think that's the rumor.
Do we have a price on that?
No price.
That's the car that will come with the brand new roundel, the round Proton logo. Maybe some better kit and a tweaked engine that now produces 300 Newton meters of torque. That's
a lot.
Is that
the one with the Thundercats logo?
Yes, the Thundercats logo. So the other car that was very interesting has been in the works and in the rumor mill for ages is the X50. It's apparently coming in the second half of the year, isn't it?
Well, yes, but there's still no confirmation. We spoke to the Proton people 2 days ago and asked them, and they still shrugged their shoulders and said, you know, you got to wait and see. You know, maybe end of the year, maybe.
Well, that's Proton's baby crossover that's going to challenge the Toyota CHR, the Honda HR-V, Mazda CX-3.
At a much lower price point.
Yep, and could come with the 1.5-litre turbo, which is very interesting.
Yes.
Of course, that car is the one that's actually co-developed with Volvo.
Yes.
The other car launch, or car news, I should say, is that Proto's SUV will also be coming out in the second half of the year.
Well, 2 days ago, we did have a quick luncheon meeting with people from Perdua.
Oh, hello.
When they announced their, you know, their report card of 2019 and the future of 2020. And again, they were very shrugging their shoulders and saying, oh, maybe this year. Will that be our second SUV? Maybe. Will it be our crossover? Maybe. But everyone is talking about it. And, you know, it's supposed to be the Daihatsu Rocky and with the new platform. And that's going to be the start of the new platform for all Perdua cars for the future. So we'll just have to wait and see, because both these companies now are neck to neck in a battle. So they don't want to reveal any information in order to outdo or be outdone by the other.
Especially to journalists who might post about it.
Exactly. Those who say you heard it here first.
Yeah. Right? Okay, so, moving on then. Let's have a little bit of a chat about the Mazda CX-30. Binny, you managed to spend the whole of last week playing around with it instead of being here in the studio.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Must have been a lot of fun.
Yes. Okay, to start with, the Mazda CX-30. Why is it called the CX-30 and not the CX-4 or the CX-6? Because you got the CX-3, then one up, you got the CX-5, then you used to have a CX-7 that has gone into retirement for some time. Then you got the big CX-9, which is lovely. But now you got the CX-30 and...
Oh, and they put the CX-A below the CX-9.
Oh, I forgot about the CX-8. Yes, correct, great. The CX-8 is, you know, built on the platform of the CX-9, but it's smaller and it looks like a CX-5 that's been stretched.
Yeah.
And that's another car for another review, but end of the day, they've called this car the CX-30. So I asked the Japanese engineer and the planner, you know, why not CX-4? In not so many words, he said, no, they wanted to start a new naming system. So I said, okay, the assumption is then they're going to be with CX-40, CX-50, CX-60. You know, he said, no, maybe not. Very, very, you know, not really too sure about it. But I came up, and you heard it here first. I came up with my own analysis. Now, if you call it the CX-4, certain Asian markets will not accept it.
True.
Because of 4. And you know where it is. Okay. Yep. So, and demographically, there's a lot of products before that came out with the number 4. And in Asia, it just doesn't work. And, you know, Asia is a big market. It's the biggest market right now. So I think CX-30 is basically trying to say, okay, we'll bridge the gap between the CX-3 and the CX-5. But we'll put a product there and call it CX-30 and make it a bit special. So how do they make it special? If you look at the vehicle, it looks exactly, in my opinion, and the opinion of a few people I've asked, not motoring media, just people, general people, it looks like the new Mazda 3 hatchback.
Totally agree.
Which has been, you know, just raised up.
Raised, and they stuck some bumpers on it.
Yeah, some nice body molding on the side, slightly bigger wheels, not very much bigger wheels, just slightly bigger wheels, and they've given it a different interior. Not a very big difference in the interior, but a little bit tweaks here and there. If you take the car out, it uses the same engine as the Mazda 3 hatchback, the 2-liter, the same 2-liter engine. The power outputs are all the same. I'll share it with you. It's a 198cc engine, 6-speed SkyActiv drive, semi-automatic gearbox, 162 brake horsepower, 213 newton meters of torque. Top speed is 216. They should be doing like Volvo and reduce it to 180 for everybody. Fuel efficiency is pretty good at 6.4 liters. To 100 kilometers. Now, the price starts from 141. You also have one model at 170,000, which is the diesel, the high spec.
Yeah.
Now, we only drove this model and we only wanted to drive this model because I think this is the model that everyone will gravitate to, because if you go a few steps up, the price goes up. Of course, you get your sunroof, you get your, you know,
power tailgate.
Power tailgate and all that. But, you know, this is a car. It's not something that you need a power tailgate, number one. Most people don't need a sunroof anymore because they realize this country is just getting too hot, you know? And when you talk about, you know, heads-up display, a lot of people don't understand heads-up display. Pedal shifters, a lot of people love talking about it, but they end up only using it for the first week.
Yeah.
And then you drive it as per normal. And if you really need to shift up the manual, the gear shifter, you can go into manual mode. So, end of the day, this is a Mazda 3 sedan, if you ask me, that has been jacked up a little bit to cater to the feminine market. Why I say feminine market? A lot of women who love hatchbacks will say, I love it, but you know, I need the height. I need something like a crossover SUV. That's that whole mental situation where, you know, it's going to flood and I need to get through the floods.
I'd say that's just generally Malaysians.
Exactly. You know, but yes, we do have, you know, floods here and there once in a while. It's not, some are bad, some are not so bad. So yes, I've seen even big SUVs get taken away by flood. You know, I've seen pickup trucks being washed away by floods. So you're not actually going to be cured by it. But, you know, when the smaller floods occur, flash rain, you know, something comes and goes, something like this will work well. In terms of build quality, look and feel, very impressive. Because this car is CBU. You know, the model we drove had a grey, black, and like a dark blue combination colour interior, which was very nice. Seat material rather than full leather. And I like the seat material because why? As the weather gets hotter, leather seats are just too hot.
Yep, yep.
I'll tell you what, one of the things that I love about the Mazda colouring, the red colour that they use on their vehicle.
Soul red.
Soul red crystal.
Yeah.
Beautiful colour.
Beautiful.
Beautiful colour.
You know, you're like a little girl.
I know. When I see it, I'm like, look at that.
I want that. It's a beautiful handbag.
But you know what? It does. It attracts my attention.
Of course, yeah. You know, when I first saw it, I said to myself, that should be, I mean, it is the signature color, but that should be the signature color at every showroom. Because if you drive by the showroom and you see that color, look at that. Yes.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Like the whites, the white Mazdas, the black Mazdas, the gray ones, even the blue ones, they don't seem to show off those
lines.
The Kodo design, the lines. Yes. And it's not quite Mazda.
Yes. But you see, Mazda, the only thing which I was, and you're probably going to ask me later, but the only thing which I was not happy with this car, and I told the product people, it's very important that you differentiate the different models by the wheel design. Because when I looked at it, all of the wheel designs look almost the same for the different variants.
Yeah.
So if I'm paying 140 or my neighbor is paying 170, my neighbor would say, hey, I want a wheel design that says my car is 170 because the shape is the same.
That's the very interesting part because the base CX-30 basically is your base.
Right.
So you don't have a lot of the amenities, no sunroof, no leather, la la la. But you spend what, 30,000, almost 30,000 to buy the top of the line diesel or even the petrol.
Right.
You get all of those, but it still kind of looks the same
as the 140.
As the 140.
It's only when you get in and notice a few little things.
Yeah.
And you know, these things may be small in terms of being noticed, but they cost a lot of money. And you know, when you CBU a car, you add on cost to every single accessory. Times, again, the tax, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in real-world terms, probably the price difference is 5,000 ringgit. But, you know, because of the tax, it goes up to that amount. But I look at it at 141, fully imported. The car quality is good. NVH is fantastic. 2-litre engine. What else? One thing, the car is wide.
Yeah.
The car is actually wide because when two people are sitting in front, the center console is very wide. So when you sit at the back, yes, I was at the back alone at one point, but I was just thinking to myself, with that width, three adults at the back, comfortable.
It's got a very good greenhouse. I mean, it's a car where, you know, it's supposed to be a little bit more sporty, a bit more coupe-like. But inside, I haven't sat in it yet, but from the pictures and all the pictures inside, it seems like there's a lot of light going everywhere.
Yes, because you see, even the glass, it's very slim. The whole glass area is slim. The body is very wide. Mm. So it actually looks like a crossover coupe.
Yeah.
Mm. I like the look of it.
Mazda 3, you know, you said it's very comparable to Mazda 3, but does this CX-30 have that zoom-zoomness?
It actually does.
Yeah?
Surprisingly, it does. Being jacked up a little bit doesn't really kill the handling all that much. I mean, I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't push it to the max, but we did drive it quick enough. End of the day, I think this car is going to take away sales from the hatchback, the standard Mazda 3 hatchback or the sedan. And that is a bit of a shame because the Mazda 3 hatchback is a good-looking car.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, it's people's preferences.
Now then, five-point inspection.
Yes, sir.
Who are its competitors then?
Competitors, Toyota CHR, Honda HR-V, which, let me remind you, the prices will be going up with the new tax system.
Yep.
So you'll be very close to this. And I think, you know, some people will say that the new Proton crossover, but the new Proton crossover is going to be less than 100,000. So, no.
What did you really like about it? Standout feature.
Standout feature, interior. I like the simple, classy interior. I'm not into a lot of gadgets. I'm not into a lot of swipe and touch screens because I already have it in my phone. You know, yeah. I don't need it in my car because I like actually feeling knobs and levers when I'm driving because I don't have to look down. Yeah. I don't have to look away from the windscreen because with a touch screen, I need to look away because I don't know exactly precisely where my finger is going.
Yeah.
You know, like even simple thing like aircon, just increasing the temperature.
A little point on that simplicity thing.
Right.
I believe the car has wireless Apple CarPlay, which is the first one to do it in Malaysia.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. So interesting stuff.
Yeah. So other than the wheels not being different from the other models, what else do you think is lacking from it, if anything?
Again, to differentiate at 30,000, I think they should even add a little bit more, maybe a front lip, you know, rear boot lid lip or something. Yeah. Just something. Maybe it might cause, you know, it's fiberglass. You know?
Just brown leather interior.
Yeah. No, but something on the exterior. On the exterior that says, hey, you know, I'm driving the premium CX-30. Because I can see a lot of people going, you know, I paid 30,000 more, but what's the difference, you know?
Mm. So is it physically, is it practical enough for a family?
Of course. Yeah? Of course.
Bigger than, almost as big as the CX-5?
No, the CX-5 is taller, it's slightly got a bit more boot space. And I can think, you know, a lot of people say, yes, I'll look at this. But then when they see the CX-5 side by side, they'll say, no, a little bit more money, I'll get the CX-5.
So, final question. Toyota CHR or this Mazda CX-30?
It's all down to styling. The CHR is so avant-garde styling. You know, it's really out there.
Yeah.
For me, my age group, I will go for this. But I can see a lot of younger people and a lot of women drawn to the CHR because it's just out there. The design is like, look at me! You know? And this one is like, I'm here.
It's interesting because on my street is a CHR on one side
and
there's one of these, or the other model, on the other side of the street. And when I walk up, I'm like, I'm torn between the two. My head. And it's in that red colour as well.
Oh, you live in a rich neighbourhood.
I don't live in a rich neighbourhood. People come to Bangsar and park their cars wherever they want, willy-nilly.
He just said he lives in Bangsar, the rich neighbourhood, right? I rest my case.
Right, it's time for us to wrap up, of course. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I've been Rich Bradbury.
Arif Roos.
And Daniel Fernandez.
We'll be back same time, same place next week here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.